We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to another Tuesday here in Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Tonight from 6 to 9 p.m., if you wanted to increase your knowledge of God's Word, we have our free video Bible school. It's actually not ours. It just meets in our fellowship hall. But Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432. It's headed up by Ted and Linda Empsom. And if you would like to find out more about that, you can call them, 633-0432. And they can tell you what time, about how long it goes. And these are pretty small classes. So if you like to have discussion and things like that, there's plenty of opportunity there for you to have your discussion. One of our board members was last week I got a report from him, and he said, wow, the guy that they've got, he's basically doing that in a sanctuary. It's done in a sermon format, but really all it is good, sound Bible teaching. And so he speaks very highly of the class. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, 633-0432. So thank you for that. And do, we mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, if you're a veteran, tomorrow's Veterans Day. And if you do not have a study Bible and would like one, we have it's called the Warrior's Bible. It is a military study notes Bible that was written by military personnel for military personnel, and it is designed to help with some of the unique challenges from deployment, PTSD, finances, all of that sort of stuff. And we have a few copies of Warrior's Bibles that we would like to give away. And so if we could put one of those into your hands and it be a blessing to you, we would love to do that. I pray also that others who are listening, that you will look for a unique way to bless a military person here in the community and let them know that you appreciate their sacrifice for their country. So let's get back to 2 Peter chapter 2 today. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just begin reading at verse number 9, and it says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority." You know, so we talked about despising authority yesterday. I want you to know that he's treating specially those who are unclean and despise authority. So we're talking about a very serious matter in God's eyes. Whenever we're talking about our attitude towards authority, we need to do everything that we can to make sure that we have the proper attitude towards those in authority over us. My pastor that I grew up under, he's 90 years old, and I want you to know that he still speaks into my life with authority. And I'm in my 50s. My parents are both still alive. And I want you to know that they will still at times speak authoritatively into my life. That honor your father and mother thing, that doesn't end at 18. We need to remember to maintain a proper attitude towards the authorities that God has blessed us. If we realize that those persons are gifts from God to us, then It will change our attitude. But it says that these people who are receiving special reservation for punishment, for correction, on the day of judgment, it says they are presumptuous. They are presumptuous. That means they presume things. They have an attitude in their heart, and they just know that it's right. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what else goes on. It doesn't matter what the other sources of information they do not have access to. They just presume that they are right because of who they are. The Bible admonishes us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We are supposed to be a humble people. One of the things that we do when we pray is we avail ourselves of the presence, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God. I have a mindset in my life, and that is this. I have a mindset that I don't know everything that God knows. I have a mindset that God has a better perspective on things than I do. I have a mindset that says that just because the media has said something doesn't mean that that is all that there is to know about the situation. So I don't want to conduct myself in a presumptuous manner. I want to conduct myself according to what God has called me, what He has empowered me to do, and what He has declared in His Word. I want it to be spelled out. This is what the reality is. So presumptuous people, they will elevate themselves instead of allowing God to elevate them. Presumptuous people will act, and a lot of times, you know, it's kind of like Peter. Peter, before Pentecost, Peter spoke first, and he sometimes, you know, had some revelation after the fact that would have changed the things that he'd spoken had he waited just a little bit for that revelation to take place. Let's be people who are not presumptuous, but instead people who are walking in the authority that God has given to us. Another adjective that is used to describe these people is self-willed. Now notice that this is a walk of uncleanness. It is a mindset of despising authority. It is a mindset of presumption. And now it is manifesting in a battle of wills. The actual reality that we should have in our life is that we are walking according to the will of God. There are a lot of people who do not have that standard. They're operating according to what they want more than what God wants. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. I find that the most fruitful place, the most rejoicing place, is right in the center of God's will. There is greater fulfillment for me in walking in obedience than there is in just doing my own thing and saying, you know what, I don't respect the authorities anyway, and I could do that better than they could, and just laying my hand to somebody else's plow and going away. That's presumptuous, it's self-willed, and that's going to lead to destruction. It's never going to result in a good thing when we're doing something from a self-driven, self-motivated action. We need to know what the will of God is. These people, it says, are self-willed. Being a pastor is a high and holy calling. I will tell you that. But I will tell you this. I am not in the ministry for the fame aspect. I'm in it because God called me to be in it. A friend of mine, he said there were people that came to him and said, what would you tell somebody who was getting ready to or was considering going into the ministry. And he said, if you can run from it, run. But if it's what God has called you to do, whatever you do, don't run away from it. Run and embrace it. And that's what I have done. I'm not here because it's like, you know what, I'm going to set myself up as pastor. I'm at Merit Assembly of God because over two decades ago, the district said, we have a church and we would like for you to go pastor it. I wasn't there out of my own aspirations, even though I knew what God had called me to do. If I had done it earlier, if I had tried to make it a reality earlier, and, you know, I sent out plenty of resumes, plenty of applications and things like that, and all of that came to nothing. It came to nothing. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying, and he said, you know, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, then not my will, but thy will be done. Self-willed people flip that on its head. God, this is what I want to do, and my will, not your will, be done. It's not even in accordance with the Lord's Prayer. Let me go back. So, we just did this not too long ago. But it says in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. As a body of Christ today, as the body of Christ, we should be praying, God, we want your will to come to Brevard County. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to prevail. And so in order for that to take place, we have got to maintain a humble attitude instead of an arrogant attitude. Presumptuous people are a proud people. A humble people will say, okay, we're going to seek the face of God on this. We're going to seek the face of God. We're going to seek the will of God. What is God disclosing in his word? I just sense that I'm supposed to go in this direction here with this particular aspect, and that is this. There are plenty of intelligent people who can read the word of God that discloses what God's will is. They have the revealed will of God right there in front of them, and yet they are so self-willed, so self-driven, that they want to reject God's word so that they can have their own drive accomplished. I tell you, that's that when we tell God to get out of off of the throne so that we can get there, that is a very dangerous place. Tim and Jerry Garrison are back from Fiji, and one of the Sunday school lessons that they shared at one point in time, and that is this: stay off of God's throne. Stay off of God's throne. If he gives you a position of authority, walk in it, live it, utilize that authority. Do not be negligent in your duty, but whatever you do, don't try and impose your will on God's will. When they came back, Pastor Tim had an interesting statement that he made. He filled in for me. I don't remember when it was he filled in for me. It was on a Wednesday when I was trying to decide if I was going to jury duty. So it was a couple of weeks ago that this happened. He was speaking, yeah, because I spoke last week. And he said, when you are praying for God's will to be done, you are just as ecstatic when you get a no from him as you are when you get a yes. When you are praying for something and God says no, you have the same elation because you've been praying, hey, God, your will be done in this situation. And if God's will is a no, then that no is in my best interest. If you've been praying about a relationship and God has been saying no, then praise God for that, because that is in your best interest. That's in that other person's best interest. And so we need to quit throwing temper tantrums and saying, God, I delight to do your will. That was the mindset that Jesus had. I have come to do your will. It is my pleasure to do your will. Any person, I don't care how old they are, I don't care how rich they are or how esteemed they are by society, if they have not come to the place of humility yet, where they have died to self, that it might be Christ living in them, not just themselves, that it's Christ steering their ship, not just their emotions and their will and their longings and their lusts and all of that sort of stuff, then they've still got a very serious crisis, identity crisis to deal with. I tell people one of the things that I am most thankful for is that I'm not God. And there are a lot of people that when I say that, they say amen. And I follow that up with a second statement, and that is this: I'm also extremely thankful that you're not God, because neither one of us are equipped to do the job. I'm also extremely thankful that God is God. So the best place that we could do is be right in the center of God's will. And one of the ways that we can find that, and we've done this study on the radio program here before, and that is, what is God's will? What does God's will look like? And so if you'll give me just a moment, I'm going to try and find that one of the passages of Scripture. It's when it says that it is God's will, folks, it is God's will. And so I'm gonna see if I can find it real quick. Goodness, silence on the radio is never a good thing, but trying to talk and read and find the passage all at the same time, and it's something that's just been dropped in your spirit, and you're trying to find it. I'm not going to be able to find the passage. I'll have to look for it. Look for it tomorrow. But it says, "This is the will of God for you." This is the will of God for you, and so we need to take those things very, very seriously and look at them and say, "Okay, if that's what God's will is, then we need to look at that." Paul or James, in chapter 4, verse number 15. He said that we should adopt a mindset that says we're not going to say tomorrow we're going to do this. We're going to say if the Lord wills, this is what we are going to do. So you and I, if we could adopt that mindset, we would be in such better shape than what we are. I'm still looking for that particular passage. So let me ask you, what are some of the things that you've had to struggle with and say, hey, God, this is what my will is in this situation. I finally found it. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is an area where my will is in conflict with your will, and then you had to struggle with it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1, let's read there. It says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification." Okay, so the will of God is going to always result in you being set apart for a higher purpose instead of a more common purpose. "That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Last Wednesday night, I was teaching our boys' class, and we had a couple of different segments, and one of them was talking about thou shalt not lie. And then the second part, we were talking about traps, and I had a few different traps that I brought in. I had a mouse trap. We didn't arm it. We didn't have any mice or anything like that to catch. I also had an ant bait where it was a trap also, in that it was luring people to eat, or luring ants to eat something that even though they were able to walk out of the building, that it was going to end up taking their life and having devastating effect on the colony. And then there was also a little sticky thing that I had. It was actually a lint roller, but I've known people who had those sorts of things, and they used them to catch flies and stuff like that with. And so the kids were having fun with all of those traps. But my real question to them was this: if the devil was to design a trap for you, what would it look like? And for most of us, it would be in this area of our will, where our will is, we are wanting to impose our will on the situation instead of God's will on the situation. And I read a headline. I'll be honest with you, the past couple of weeks have been extremely busy. So if I sound a little more scatterbrained than I normally am, I apologize. I'm trying to keep my focus as best I can. But the headline was this: could God's will actually be a lot easier to understand than we make it? And I believe the answer to that question is yes. I believe that we go through a lot of spiritual contortions and things like that, trying to get God to say something where his word is already spelled it out very, very clearly. You see, God's revealed his will through his word. And so I know that sexual immorality is not God's will for you. And I've had conversations with people who were in immoral circumstances, and they were confused and stuff like that. And they said, oh, but this is what God wants. And I was quite bold, and I said, that's not God's will. They said, how do you know that that's not God's will? And I could take them to the word of God, and I could show. I said, because this is what he said in his word, and it is impossible for God to lie. And so a lot of times, if our humanity, if we are looking for a different answer than what God's word says, we're actually trying to get God to change his revealed will to fit our will, and that's a problem. Listen, if we are functioning in society as people who despise authority, who we're living or walking in a manner of uncleanness, we are presumptuous, just presuming that we are more equipped than those authorities, and that we are driven by our selfishness, then we are headed for destruction. And the reality is, God doesn't want you in that. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says that God was going to come and set the captives free. And Jesus, he came into the synagogue one day. They handed him the scroll. He found the place, and he read that scripture, and he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, if you are living in carnality, if you're living in immorality, if you have a bad attitude towards authority to the point that you despise them, if you are living presumptuous instead of humility, and if you are living according to your own selfish desires instead of God's desires, then I need to inform you that you're in bondage. you're in bondage. But the good news is that Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free. You don't have to stay in the trap any longer. So what would your trap look like? The question that I asked the boys last week. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions that I wouldn't ask them because these are pretty young boys. And would a trap for you look like stealing something that doesn't belong to you? Would a trap for you, because these are traps that the enemy uses with a great deal of frequency, would a trap for you involve pornography? Listen, that's a trap. That's a trap. You need to recognize that as a trap from the enemy. And if you're a man, or listen, ladies, you're not immune to this. They had a movie that came out earlier this year that was specifically targeted at getting women into the bondage of pornography. Don't fall for the trap. Pornography will not make your marriage better. It will destroy it. Sexual immorality will not make your marriage better. It will destroy it. Your marriage was meant to be one man, one woman. Any other combination is a trap from the enemy. Your trap might look like rebelling against those in authority over you. It might look like that. There are a lot of different traps. Your trap may be designed to get you so full of yourself that you lose your humility. And the scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, one of the things that troubles me about this upcoming election is I'm looking for somebody who's humble. Because if the scripture says God opposes the proud and we elect someone, and I'm not talking about any one person in particular, but if we elect an arrogant person to office, we're going to find America being led by someone who God is opposing. And that's a bad scene for America. Let's pray that God gives us a humble leader who wants to do his will. Could we do that? Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would keep us humble before you. Lord, keep me humble. Keep the listeners humble. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to pray just like Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, Satan said, I will do this, I will do this, I will do that. And all of those things were contrary. We don't want that. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."